Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1695, air date June 5th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Adre. This is our open house. Today's talk is going to be on a real deep discussion on a reality that independents in the United States are the majority. And in some states, there's a super majority, like in Massachusetts. We're going to use this as a case study because I'm running for Senate here and our movement is behind all of this, is that 65% of Massachusetts voters are independents. So those of you from other parts of the world, like in India, there are two parties, Congress and BJP. And people think those are the only two parties in Labour and you know, conservative in London and so on. But the reality is, globally, this is also a trend. People don't believe in these parties because they're recognizing that when they continue to vote for them, they don't get the results that they want. And the United States, this is particularly significant because you have Democrats, Republicans, and in many states, there's a concept of unenrolled, U-N-E-N-R-O-L-L-E-D, unenrolled. What that means is the person has not chosen to be in any party. So colloquially, that's called independence. So if you want to think about a cage and a bird in that cage and the door is open, why doesn't the bird fly out? And that's the question we're going to probe relative to why independents, case in point in Massachusetts, where 65% keep voting for the minority party. Parties, Democrats and Republicans, who are now less than 35%. So just think about that. You're actually the majority, but you keep going to the minority, who actually doesn't end up doing anything for you. So why is this occurring? And what does this mean? And what is the opportunity? That's what we're going to talk about today. So I just want you to think about that image of a cage with a bird, the door is open, and the bird just sticks around in there. So that's the invisible cage that's occurring right now. And the majority easily has a key, but decides to stay inside that cage, voting for these two very, very corrupt, two sides of the same coin, the swarm. But in Massachusetts, and this is, you can apply this in many other parts of the United States, 65% of the independents are the supermajority. So mathematically, the real power is in the independents. 35% are the minority, which are the two corporate parties. You know, the two minority parties who represent themselves as the majority. This is really the brainwashing that's taking place. So before I begin, I want to welcome everyone to tonight's open house. And we're going to really look tonight at this undeniable, what I'd like to say, it's a mathematical crime scene, actually. And we're going to look at the data on our campaign, where 65% of Massachusetts is unenrolled and independent, and the corporate media keeps telling people that that the two major parties are the majority. And this is a freaking big lie. It's just a lie. And think about it, these are adults, free people in the United States, told that they have all this freedom. Cage is open, but the bird stays in the cage. So what is the thing that is enslaving these people? And so like a caged animal or caged bird, where the door is wide open, the independent majority, the majority, capital M to the power of two, supermajority, not 51%, not 55%, 65%, heading towards 70. They blindly run back inside to vote for the Democrats or the Republicans. By the way, in Massachusetts, the Democrats have fallen from 35% to under 30 to 28.5%. And the Republicans, who used to be 10%, are now 6.5%. So people are leaving these parties. So one part of the human mind is getting these parties are corrupt, but they're not willing to take the next step. Okay? And that's the opportunity that we have. And so we're going to talk about how we learn to shatter the swarm. In this case, how people can learn to walk out of that cage. And why it's important to do that, because our movement, Truth, Freedom, Health, is a movement. And we're always looking for opportunities, educational opportunities, living opportunities to get people to independently take personal responsibility and leave that cage. So let's sort of really talk about sort of the politically homeless, okay? So if you think about it, everyday people right now are abandoning formal party registration. They're becoming quote-unquote independents. And the reason this is occurring is because people are losing trust in every institution, educational institutions, financial institutions, health institutions. You go down the list. And so the citizens, the broad mass of people, and this is why when people say, oh, people don't get it, it's not true. Look at the data. People are abandoning their parties. And we just need to give them an inspiration, a big kick to let them keep moving forward. So the citizens are recognizing that the existing political establishment is hollow. And the identity has shifted, but the machinery is still being hijacked, okay? So people have shifted saying, hey, I'm not these two people, but the machinery is keeping people tied. It's almost like the house slave leaves a plantation and he's now in the field, but the master has this long arm, even though there's no physical chains, to keep that person in the orbit of the master. Okay? And this needs to be understood for us to win and break this chain so people can build the movement for truth for another, grow it. We've already built it. So the reality is that the electoral data has shifted permanently. The corporate parties, Democrats and Republicans, are shrinking. In fact, they're hemorrhaging. People are leaving their parties in droves, millions. And everyday working class people are declaring themselves politically homeless because they see their lives deteriorating. But while the identity of the voter has shifted to independent, the machinery of power is still being monopolized by this 35% minority. And the question is why? Because, as I've said, a cage doesn't need a padlock if you've been brainwashed to love the bars. And that's what's going on. So if we think about this paradox, what I call this cognitive trap, think about it this way. Neither party represents us, me, you, okay? So none of these parties represent us, independent, 65%, yet we keep voting for them anyway. So just consider that behavior. It's an addiction, right? You know this stuff is bad, but you keep partaking in it. Neither party represents me or you, yet people keep voting for them. And within that, the way they keep people tied, as we've talked about, as we teach people in our course, is through the not-so-obvious establishment, the Bernie Sanders, the AOCs on the left, the Thomas Massies, you know, the Rand Pauls on the right, who keep people tied, quote-unquote, giving them hope that the existing party infrastructure will do something for them. So they keep choosing, you know, this pre-selected corporate option. Some people call it the Stockholm syndrome, where you're forcing voters to seek safety from their oppressor. So this brings up us to the independence paradox. So if you talk to people, you know, around a kitchen table or at the grocery store, voters will tell you, citizens, with absolute certainty, neither party represents me. In fact, we had volunteers this past weekend, in fact, the whole week, amazing people came into Massachusetts to help collect signatures. So as they're collecting signatures, people would come to them. Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? They'd say neither. Ooh, I'll sign. So the fact is, the 65% supermajority know these parties don't represent them. Yet, when they go into the voting booth, they pull the lever for the exact establishment swarm that oppresses them. So if you just think about that, how is that occurring? So this cannot be just random. It's engineered. It's not by accident. It's calculated, and there's a multi-billion, trillion psychological operation designed to induce this Stockholm syndrome at the ballot box. So what I'm asserting is this is not random. This is highly, highly engineered. So people are leaving these parties. So both parties have engineered a way that the supermajority still votes for them. Okay? And I'm going to go through five or six ways that they're doing this. So you need to understand this. If you're going to get away from your oppressor and you're going to free other people, you have to understand the system's dynamics and mechanics. Because again, I repeat, this is not random. As an engineer, as an engineering systems guy, I've looked at this. It is highly, highly engineered. And if you don't study this from a systems perspective, and this is why we are training warrior scholars, we train leaders, because we need enough people to go educate other people, or people just think it's random and they're just like a hamster going around in that habit trail. So they're literally engineering compliance, right? And the way that the swarm does this is they're doing this by bypassing. So you have the intellectual mind, like I'm talking to you, you're getting it, but they have a way of making people bypass their own intellect to enter what I call raw primal emotion. As I've talked about in other talks, there are three levels of intelligence. We talk about this in our course. One is the primal, instinctive, quote-unquote, intelligence, sort of the lowest form, the intellectual and the intuitive. The intuitive being the highest, where decisions come from a source of deep wisdom and experience. The intellectual sort of has to figure things out mechanistically, but the primal emotion is the lowest form. And what these guys are doing is they're bypassing the person's logic, going right at the primal emotion. And so they're using emotion over evidence. So the decisions, as I'm going to walk through, are really being driven by panic and then rationalized later. And we're going to walk through that. So people intellectually know these two freaking parties do nothing for them. They are the minority. We're the majority, yet the swarm manipulates, and they've learned this over many, many years. They've done psychological study. There's an institute at Harvard called the William James, School of Psychology, Behavioral Psychology. This is not random. People like B.F. Skinner, you can look at these guys. These guys were paid by the CIA, the government, to figure out how you manipulate people. So you give them the Constitution, you give them you give them all these freedoms on paper. So people are thinking I'm in the freest country, but you have the psychological way to use people's instinctive intellect, the lowest form, primal emotion. And the goal is they drive this panic and they create a tribal defensiveness. So they're turning voters into guards of their own cage, okay? You may know of that very famous Stanford experiment where a professor wanted to do an experiment on how people follow authority or not, how that, that process of being manipulated. So anyway, he took people off to a prison environment. The prisoners, who were the students, one group, their heads were shaved. They were put into white outfits. It's a very interesting video. You can find it online. And they were literally made prisoners. And the other guys are guards in, dark glasses and their hats and uniforms. And the prison guards are told to, harass the prisoners. Wake them up at 2 a.m, make them do push-ups, sit-ups. Anyway, this goes on. This experiment was supposed to go on, I believe, like 6 months. I think it ended in like 6 weeks. So as this experiment goes on, the prisoners, are essentially being harassed and abused. One of the prisoners says, hey, this is bullshit. And he fights back when they're in a line. Well, what happens is who attacks him is not the guards. The other prisoners attack him. Hey, what are you doing? You're going to get us into more trouble. So that is a behavioral psychology technique you can turn on in people. It's a very low form. Okay. And we have a whole discussion on this. So as a system scientist, I spend a lot of time looking how particular inputs generate particular outputs. And that's what we teach people, input, output, and you can consciously choose inputs to achieve the outputs you want. Now, the political establishment can never win on actual facts, okay? Because the facts are actually against them. So they have to win on what we call behavioral engineering. The father of behaviorism was a guy called B.F. Skinner. and go read about him. Creepy guy. Now, he's the one who got funded by the Navy, the military, in a project called Project Orcon before inertial guidance came. They had a missile, and they literally put a pigeon inside the missile, had a screen where the trajectory of the missile should go, and the pigeon was trained to peck on the screen and would get fed, you know, some food to bring the if the trajectory was here and the missile was going here, it would peck, and the pecking action created a control feedback loop to bring the missile back. Anyway, bottom line is, as father behaviorism, B.F. Skinner was looking at all ways to do, you know, pain and pleasure, abilities to manipulate people. So what the establishment is doing is they're taking, you know, your physical pain, like your grocery bills or your utility costs, which are skyrocketing. And what they do is they run it through an emotional gaslighting machine, right? They either trigger fear or tribal pride and social pressure, so that your final decision is not based on panic, is based on panic, not logic. And what they're doing is they're bypassing your intellect completely. And so the first tactic, I want to go over to the actual mechanics. So as a systems person, the first mechanic they use is a fear factory, okay? And the way this works is the campaigns are engineered to make you hate the opponent, right? So every election cycle, if you notice, it's always sold that this is the most important election, the final battle, right? They manufacture some existential crisis. Oh my God, if we elect Hillary Clinton, dot, dot, dot. Oh my God, if we elect Donald Trump, dot, dot, dot. Oh my God, if we elect Reagan. Oh my God, if we elect Ma. And you can keep going back. And the media is all part of this. You know, this is going to be such a close race. You know, this is it. This is what happens in this election will determine the future of every whole existence, right? Armageddon. I mean, they put all the shit in their massive theater, the final battle. So they create infinite amount of fear. And so they're saying, this is so important. It's either going to be this or this. You can't have any other options, because either we elect this person or this person, and if we don't do that, everything's going to go to hell, right? That's what they do. But they only give you two pieces. And it literally, it's almost a paralysis of hope, because they extinguish real change by making the voters prioritize safety. Okay? So they create this dialectic that it's going to be this way or this way. And forget these independents. What are you talking about? The world is going to end if we don't vote for one of these guys. So they create this massive hyper sense of yin and yang, and you have to choose one of them. And the goal is to say, oh shit, I got to choose one or this, the quote unquote lesser of two evils, right? So I'm going to go into this, but if you really break down these, I'd like to really look at these five brainwashing techniques. The first one is a fear factory that I just explained to you, right? So the major parties really don't spend money to make you love them. They spend a lot of money to make you terrified of the other side, right? So they manufacture an existential crisis every 2 to 4 years. And they choose something. Immigration. Oh my God, if you vote for him, criminals are going to come over the border and they're going to start raping your children. This is it, right? Or if you vote for him, you know, fill in the blank, okay? And you can go to every election and you'll see this. So they manufacture this existential crisis, you know, in House of Representatives races, 2 years or 4 years, right? And they tell you, if you don't vote for this brand of corruption, the country will collapse tomorrow. So you're not really voting for anyone anymore. You're actually voting to stop a nightmare that they invented. Does this make sense? Everyone follow me? So, but think about this mechanics. That's what they do, right? So everyone's like, what are you saying, Catherine? I got to vote for Dr. Shiva, independent. He's no. If we don't vote for this or this, hell is going to break loose. We don't have time to really vote for a real candidate, because look at this, right? The world's going to go to hell. Don't talk to me about that. Yeah, he sounds good. He's done, but that's not what I can talk about right now. I got to choose between, right, all the world going to hell and you want me to, you want the world to go to hell, Catherine? I can't, you know, right? So they get you into this fear mode, but that's a very powerful technique. Okay. So that's brainwashing tactic. I call it the fear factory. You can write it down. Okay. The second thing that's related, it's the sister of that, is a lesser of two evils. The illusion of a binary choice, okay? Right? Elephant or donkey, right? And it's a misdirection. So they say, look, candidate A is corrupt, but candidate B will destroy us, right? Right? Candidate A is really corrupt. You know, we know he's fucked up. You know, he's a pedophile and he's done this and that. But if we vote for candidate B, the world's going to blow up. Okay, I'll go with the guy who's a pedophile versus the guy who's going to press the nuclear button, right? So they give you these crazy choices for you to lose all sense of rational thinking, right? They're going to the primitive aspect of you. So you're accepting essentially gradual decay. You're willing to compromise away your future step by step. So that's what happens. So you accept this level of evil, then you accept a little more, and everything just degrades. You basically leave out of this with no value system in this. And it's really part of a status quo insurance policy. So you're lowering the voter standards so real leaders can't break through. Does that make sense? So what they're psychologically doing is mentally and training is this guy's bad, but this guy will blow up the world. Okay, I'm going to vote for this guy, even though he's corrupt and I would never, you know, let this guy in my house around my kids, but I'm going to vote for him. So what's happening is the adults making these decisions are internally lowering their standards. Well, we really can't have a really good leader who fights for us, is there, you know, worked his butt off. We really can't have that, right? Because my standards are so fucking low, right? So this tactic, you know, the lesser of two evils, or this deception, this is really the insurance policy of the swarm. They tell you candidate A is bad, but candidate B is worse. And by getting you to accept this lesser evil, what they're really doing is they're getting you to willingly vote for your own decay. So it forces the independent majority, 65%, they lower their standards to the floor, ensuring that the parasites never face a real challenger. Does that make sense? So they're creating a condition that they've lowered the standards so they never have to face someone like me. Okay? Well, we're happy with this. And you're almost training people on a collective level to have a lower self-esteem for what they deserve. I don't really deserve that guy. Right? Because I've always, you know, accepted the guy who's a rapist, but this guy's going to blow up the world. Right? I've gotten used to that. Does this make sense? Very powerful technique. It's behavioral engineering. And it's done relentlessly. Oh my God, this guy's great. This woman is great. She worked all, you know, she did this and she's an entrepreneur. She did this and, oh yeah, yeah, but we can't vote for her. We got to deal with this. Think about how people do that, right? It's irrational. But this is engineering. Now, tactic number three, I call it the spoiler matrix, right? And it's basically inverting basic math. They basically convince the majority they can't mathematically win. I find this quite amazing, right? They actually convince the 65% that you can't fucking win. How do they do that? They convince the majority you can't win. You have to vote for the minority. So this is quite powerful, okay? How do they do that, right? So, and they're doing this by disarming this army, right? They're convincing the largest voter block, again, in Massachusetts, 65%, to lay down their weapons. And it's a sort of a pre-election surrender. So winning the race before starts by controlling their expectations. So this is how this works, right? This is where the gaslighting, right, becomes completely mathematical. So the media looks at the 65, the corporate media, looks at the 65% independent supermajority and tells them that they will spoil the election for the 35% minority. Okay, if you vote for Dr. Shiva, you're going to spoil it for the Republicans and Democrats. Don't be a spoiler. This guy is going to spoil. That's what they say. They will call me a spoiler. In fact, when I ran the Republicans against Elizabeth Warren, oh, you're spoiling the vote. You're taking votes away from us. When I'm the fucking representative of the majority, the minority is telling the independent voters, this guy's a spoiler. Does this make any sense? Do you understand how irrational this is? It's totally irrational. Okay. So the media supports this too. You know, CNN or Fox, they'll say, oh, you know, they tell the 65% that they're going to spoil the election for the 35% minority. And think about how really, as I mentioned, insane this is. The majority is told, 65%, that it's impossible for them to win. And they're convincing the largest army, the 65%, in this case in Massachusetts, to lay down their weapons before the battle even starts by calling their vote a waste. Right? Brainwashing. Over and over. Why are you going to vote for it? You're wasting your vote. And people say, oh, okay. You may have seen that. I forget the exact. It's this psychological experiment. I think they have like three sticks. One is really long and the other two are short. And they have 5 people or 10 people set up in the room and one person who's not set up. And they present the sticks and everyone says the short stick is the largest. And the guy's looking around at these people and he goes, yeah, the short stick is the largest. It's behavioral manipulation because people are afraid of being part of the spoiler, right? It's engineered very cleverly over and over. They have these things and they have huge ad agencies. Massive manipulation. There's a movie with Jessica Chastain called Sloan. I saw it with Nicholas when he was up. And if you watch that movie, you'll see this is not random. The amount of money that goes into manipulating opinion, manipulating people away from their own self-interest. This is not random. It's highly engineered. But that's the third way, okay? Third way is to tell people to lay down their weapons. Don't even bother. You're going to spoil it. Why are you wasting your vote, okay? Okay, tactic 4 is media redlining, okay? And this is where it's like really they dictate the boundaries, right? They actually control which topics are even allowed to be talked about. So you have democracy, but they define the 4 corners of that democracy. Within this boundary, we'll debate shit, but we're not going to talk about the bigger issues over here. We're not going to fundamentally talk about, hey, is centralized energy the way to go? Centralized communications? What about medical freedom? Right? So they contain it to 4 issues like abortion, which, you know, you get everyone fighting, transgender, which affects like nobody, right? 2% of the people, make it a big issue. Immigration, which they have no interest in solving, right? So they have a set of issues that divide people and they bound it there. They will never talk about the real issues that actually solve the big problems. So it's really, you know, controlling the narrative and doing blackouts, right? So you completely erase, basically it's complete media eraser of real solutions, right? And then they have distraction theater. You siphon voter focus into gossip, you know, UFOs. Oh my God, did you see the UFOs? Partisan theater, right? Controlled opposition, not so obvious establishment. But the whole goal is to, basically the corporate media doesn't just tell you what to think. The engineering, the behavioral engineering, they dictate to you what you're allowed to think about. Oh, let's talk. What is his position on immigration? Why is that the most important position? Because they keep pummeling away. When we know the swarm has, I wrote a book called Deportation Theater. They have no interest in ever solving ever-solving immigration, they're never going to deport the 14 million illegal immigrants because the billionaire class needs the 14 million immigrants for low-cost labor, and they use the low-cost and the illegal immigration to diminish the wages of all the other white workers. So the reality is they bound it into their discussion, which are highly divisive of the working class. So they isolate your attention into the theater, fake scandals, right? Supposedly, you know, this week, Bibi Netanyahu and Trump are fighting. Bullshit, right? Trump said, fuck you to Bibi, right? So that becomes an issue. Culture wars, right? Candace Owens versus Erica Kirk. Who the fuck cares? Identity politics, right? And while completely blacking out actual structural solutions. Again, this is highly engineered. They'll never let an uncompromising solution or a system scientist like myself onto their debate stage. In 2018, we were the only independent candidate running against Elizabeth Warren on the Democrat side and another guy called Dirty Deal. And I had all the signatures, the only candidate to be on the debate stage. They changed the rules and pulled me off the debate stage. I found a lawyer to sue them. The lawyer was a Republican hack and fucked up the lawsuit. You see? So they don't want people ever seeing a true uncompromising candidate because they know that if I got 10 minutes on stage, it would be over for them. Over. Every time I get in front of people, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but the reality is I have a God-given gift for educating people and motivating and inspiring people. And I came bottoms up. They cannot allow me on their fucking debate stage because it would be over for them. It's disgraceful. But they do that and they get people to accept it. Right? Because 10 minutes and it's over for them. I don't even need an hour. The fifth tactic is the traditional divide and conquer, which the British learned when they came to the United States in Bacon's Rebellion. You can read about it in Deportation Theater, when the wealthy British crown came here. You know, you had black slaves and the poor white settlers. And at one point in Bacon's Rebellion, the poor white settlers and the slaves got together and they started rebelling. They could never have that. So they invented divide and rule. Racism was a weaponry that got created. And it continued in U.S. elite swarm policy. First, you diminish the slaves, then you diminish the Italians and the Chinese. Keeps going on, okay? Somalians, whatever. You find something pretty dramatic, right? That you can create this. But it is the cultural warfare. That's what they make it versus the economic war. They do not want us to talk about economics. They want us to talk about cultural issues. And so it's a smokescreen, right? So what they do is they keep the neighbors fighting each other so they don't look up at the swarm. They get both parties voting together to fund foreign proxy wars. And in this case, by the way, in the recent Iran war, masses of people are rising up. So they do a vote, and if you really realize it's still bogus because they're still going to route money to Israel through many, many other ways. And the goal is to starve the foundational elements, right? You have decimating roads, small businesses, schools, everything is sort of crumbling. And so in this divide and rule tactic, they take the working class and they segment them into blacks, Muslims, Christians, right? Into these warring cultural factions. And while they have everyday people clawing at each other over the theater, they create the swarm, both parties quietly vote to siphon billions of our tax dollars, your hard-earned money, to fund foreign wars. They go and blow up other countries. Trump was pissed off that Obama gave Iran $1.5 billion. Trump is negotiating giving Iran $300 billion. And a lot of that will go to his friends and family who'll go there to fix their roads and bridges. Okay? So ultimately, our tax dollars go to fund these wars, Democrat and Republicans, independents are the majority, yet people are brainwashed to vote for these two scumbags. Money flows to these scumbag parties. They still do the foreign wars. And then the money goes back to rebuild these other countries to the people who funded them, large construction companies, Bechtel, you can go down the list. So the bottom line, the message that we as a movement, and we have this opportunity with our run for U.S. Senate, is the message is it's time to vote for us, not them. It's that simple. It is us versus them. The actual majority versus a minority. Now, you know, just to sort of let you know that the independents want a better life for their kids, but they vote for these two parties who have no interest in giving them a better life. And when you look at the physical reality, what do you see? Okay. The reality is, from this brainwashing, people stay trapped in this two-party cage, right? And housing, food, healthcare, utilities keep going up. And this isn't just bad luck. It's a structural choice. That's what's going on. So the politicians, the independent majority, the supermajority, the politicians they vote for are literally taking millions from corporate land hoarders like BlackRock and state-backed utility companies, and they're giving them a green light to bleed the everyday working citizens dry. So the Democrats and Republicans are corporate parties. They manipulate the independents to vote for them, and these people just rape and pillage the same people who voted for them. It's quite extraordinary. And this is not happening, I repeat, by rational. It is happening by massive psychological manipulation. Okay? So if you look at these different silos, right, they manufacture polarization. They have these influencers online continuing that, these echo chambers. And the whole goal is that you don't want any critical thinking there, right? They do algorithmic containment, social feeds that lock people into, you know, these self-validation loops. And then they misdirect anger. They ensure that voters blame a particular tribe. You blame the Muslims. You blame the Christians. You blame the Italians or whatever, right? Instead of the systemic root causes. So the entire modern media ecosystem is really engineered to keep people segregated in these silos. And whether you're watching the left-wing news or the right wing, they're both doing this by design. So people are starting to consume, even on social media, their information that basically reinforces a specific viewpoint. You're in an echo chamber while blinding everyone not to even look at the root cause, right? So it's designed to keep people angry at their neighbor instead of ever looking at the politicians left and right and the corporate middlemen. So again, I repeat, this is highly, highly engineered. One of the things that they're banking on, again, a couple of comments before we go to questions, is this. They know, again, you know, human beings can operate in two ways. In this extraordinary way that we've seen great people operate, right? You overcome your primal part of you, you do rational thinking, you make wise choices. That's the higher brain, you know, that advances civilization and society. The other part of it is people get over their, you know, the seven deadly sins, sloth and laziness. And then you advance yourself to being disciplined and taking personal responsibility. These are sort of the higher aspects of being, you know, a human being. But these people want to incentivize the lower aspects of being human. One of them is comfort zone, right? Laziness. So they go to the aspect of the human brain that prefers a predictable pain even over unpredictable change, right? The swarm frames independent leadership as dangerous. Dr. Shiva is dangerous. Malcolm X is dangerous. Oh, you don't want to go with those people. They're a cult, whatever, right? They frame independent thinking and leadership as dangerous. And so what they're really doing is they're moving voters from this reactive survival into a very design focused action that they want, right? And I call this behavioral economics, right? Where in behavioral economics, what humans naturally prefer, they prefer, you know, familiar misery over unfamiliar freedom. they're willing to say, well, my life's like this. Okay, but I get it. They take advantage of people's lowest instinctive natures not to move to new states of existence. And you'll notice this in your own families. Why are you handing out flyers? Why are you collecting? Why are you doing this? You know, everything is fine. Just do your job, you know, be happy. So the two-party machine really exploits this part, this lower part of the human brain behavioral part, the status quo bias, right? So they make they make the cage feel nice and safe, right? They make the outside world of independent leadership look dangerous and unpredictable. But what's really funny is that the United States was built on those people who left other countries and came here. I mean, my parents had decent jobs in India that were very comfortable. They didn't have to come here. So immigrants could have stayed in their countries, whatever misery they had. But the people that the United States was built on was people who were willing to go across an ocean, go into this new world. So that's what the United States is built on. And these people, in many ways, are highly, highly un-American. So breaking this cage really requires a shift in consciousness. And it requires switching from this emotional political reaction to a much more logical analysis, looking at the data. And that's what systems health is about, or systems science is about, including systems health or truth, freedom, health. It's really about traditional politics, which is about debasing the humans to this very low form of operating, to systems thinking, which is elevating people to really fulfill what human beings really are. So, you know, one of the flyers we've designed right now, I don't know if Henry Tiffany's here, but Henry and I have been working on this, and we've advanced it since then. But it says, stop electing politicians, start electing problem solvers, right? So that's a very, sounds simple, but people, that's a new concept, right? And traditional politics is very, very linear and frankly, and useless, right? A problem occurs, politicians blame each other, and then they pass a 2,000-page bill and nothing changes, right? Now, if you look at anyone who's an entrepreneur who's had to create something, whereas myself as an entrepreneur and as a system scientist, I don't look at politics, I look at the architecture of the system. If the bridge is collapsing, for example, you don't hire a lawyer to give a speech about why it's collapsing. You hire an engineer to find the root cause and fix the structure. This is very rational. So everything I'm saying is rational, but they have to take people away from rational thinking for their self-interest. And that's what's really going on. So if you take, for example, the area of healthcare, okay? The entire healthcare systems have become completely irrational and they've made people accept it. So the rational ways, you had a doctor and a patient. The doctor knew you. There was a close relationship. There was no middlemen. Well, that's been all destroyed starting in 1970. You have 15 middlemen between the patient and the doctor. If you ever go to visit a doctor, the guy's back is turned around. He's typing stuff. He's not even looking at you. He's figuring out what he can bill, the billing codes. There is no real medical freedom because you're not making the decision with your doctor. A bean counter in the back room in a centralized model for insurance companies is deciding what tests you should take, what you should do, which is going to lead to more money-making opportunities. So that's centralized healthcare. Simple solution is we need to reestablish the relationship between the doctor and the patient and eliminate all these middlemen. You do that, you lower costs, you get faster and better healthcare. So again, that same thinking, irrational thinking, is brought to every one of these aspects. Here's something that's quite extraordinary, right? Another irrational way that in these voting machines that we discovered in 2020 is a feature on the voting machine where you can flip votes. So if Nicholas got 50 votes, Barb got 50, I can multiply Barb's votes by 2 and Nicholas's votes by 0.5. He ends up at 25. It's a feature. It's called a weighted race feature. Highly irrational. Let me give you another example. This is happening right now. We'll do another session on this. The law, the federal law, states in black and white, 52 U.S.C. 20701, that all data in connection with the federal election must be preserved for 22 months. And multiple courts have ruled that data includes not only the physical ballots, but also the images that are created of the ballots. Because when you put a ballot into a machine, it takes a photograph, and that's what's used. In 2020, after they stole my election, I demanded the ballot images, and they said, oh, we turned that feature off, which means they're auto-deleting ballot images. Well, we just sued the Secretary of State. They wrote back in their response, they don't have to save ballot images. They put it in writing. Irrational. So the level of irrationality that these people get away with is all based on psychological manipulation. That's another example, okay? But the ultimate reality is you extend this to big tech, big pharma, the big banks. All of it is these people exist not because of any rational thinking, but irrational manipulation of people. That's what's fundamentally going on. And so in closing, you know, if you look at the data, the mathematics are in the favor of the majority, in this case, 65%, right? And we don't actually need billions in corporate dark money to win. We just use the mathematics. Now, in Massachusetts, our campaign, because we have a movement, is proceeding really well, but we recognize that we are growing our movement. We don't want to make it 10 people going out and getting the votes. That's not a movement. So if you listen to what I've shared, there's a 65% chance, if you're listening to this in Massachusetts, for that matter, you're an independent. So in Massachusetts, unlike other parts of the world or the country, there is no movement. We actually have a freaking movement, a global movement. So to break this brainwashing, you have to give people examples that you can break it because the numbers are in our favor. So our mission is not only to win this U.S. Senate race, but to say, wake the fuck up. We're the majority and we won. And in order to do that, our movement has to get our own movement moving. Okay? So those of you who come to these events, there's 53 of you here today. And if you're new, welcome. But this movement is giving you the opportunity, like a gym where you can go work out and build your muscle. It is giving you an opportunity to get out of this fucking brainwashing. In many ways, it's a detox center of sorts. You can detox yourself. And if you look at the numbers, we need 800,000 votes to win this freaking election. If you talk to the people who are collecting signatures, people would come to them. Are you Democrat or Republican? As I said, no, we're going to sign. So people are looking for us. The demand is there. So our movement has to take all of you tonight, and you guys should get onboarded. We've set up amazing infrastructure. You can, wherever you are, you can make phone calls. We need a minimum of 300 to 500 people right now making phone calls. And you got, and if you just give 1 hour a day and we'll win this election. So all that, you have to get over all this brainwashing that I just went over. Oh, why should I do it? Can he win? I don't know. I have other shit going on. I got to watch UFC fighting. All this bullshit. This movement is a godsend to you, not to me, but to you. It is giving you the opportunity to flex those muscles and to open that. The cage is open to get the fuck out. So if you're listening to this or you listen to it later, go to Shiva for Senate. Think about it as an opportunity for you to participate in a community of other people, take a very precise action. And within 5-10 minutes, we'll do breakout rooms today. You can be onboarded, you know, with a stupid app on your phone. I'm sure you guys are downloading all their crazy apps, games and this shit and that shit, cooking. Well, download this app. This app will let you make phone calls and you don't even have to dial. You hit a button and you get connected to somebody. So we've laid down 23rd century infrastructure. So you can be lazy if you want, but do this in a convenient way. The other thing is we need about 1,000 people in Massachusetts going and handing out flyers. Again, this is an exercise for you. We need each person to hand out about 1,000 flyers. That's easy. You can hand out 60 in an hour. You can hand out 60 flyers, about 20 hours. That's it. So we are giving you bite-sized chunks that we can do collectively to show, oh, if we just go do this, then I win. No different than don't listen to all that shit in your brain. Just go to the gym and even 30 minutes or do a, 30-minute walk with your dogs, whatever, right? You're going to improve your health. This is a movement that is for you to exercise as part of your being that has been made mush by the swarm, by design, through massive, massive $1 trillion worth of psychological manipulation. But the good news is there's 53 of you here. There's 10,000 people watching this. There's 500,000 people, are Warrior Scholar members, and about a couple billion people have seen our videos in spite of all the shit they do to us.
Jim.
So you have to use this gym, training environment, the studio, if you want to call it. It's an experiment. Will we win the U.S. Senate race? It's up to you, not me. Can we change the brainwashing? It's up to you. We've created the environment. We have great equipment, great trainers. It's like you go to a gym, beautiful equipment, great trainers, great writing, great music. We have all of it. The issue is you. Our movement is demanding you take fucking personal responsibility for your life. Just like the immigrants who came here, your grandparents and your great-grandparents who came here. That's how the United States was built. It was a country that rewarded people who went into the unknown and took personal responsibility. All these fucking people, Democrats and Republicans, claiming they're Americans, are anti-American. They hate this fucking country and they hate you. They are not Americans. They want to make people lazy. They want to make people dumb. They want to go down to the lowest primal levels. Our movement is at a much higher standard. And we're not going to lower ourselves. This is why we call out these scumbags way ahead. We're not here to please people. We called out Booby fucking Kennedy. We called out warmongering Tulsi Gabbard. We called out Thomas Massey. I'm going to release the Epstein files tomorrow. Oh, well, what the fuck's going on? Where is he? These people are scumbags. We're not here to please people and to make you feel good. We're here to elevate you. So for God's sake, you have a lifetime opportunity. I'm not going to run again after this election. It's up to you. So you want greatness? Well, be great. Go hand out 1,000 flyers. We have people from Florida, Tennessee, Minnesota, fly in here to do it. So if you want to do something, you do it. So this movement is giving you an opportunity to get over your own fucking mental slavery in a tangible way, not listening to some fucking Bob Marley song and smoking weed. That's actually enslaving you more. That's why they promoted him, okay? We're telling you to do an action. Question is, will you do it in spite of everything handed to you on a fucking silver platter? It's really up to you because we are the majority. I represent the majority. Our movement represents the majority. So that's where we're at. And that's why the title of today's talk was Independence. Why are you voting for Democrats and Republicans when we're the majority? Why are you doing that? At a certain point, it doesn't matter why you're doing stupid shit. The issue is, what will you do? I had a good friend of mine, and in closing, I want to say this. He was a guy who really helped people a lot in many ways. And he said, all these fucking psychologists, they try to do archaeology. They put people to therapy for like forever, right? What happened? And what happened when you were 15? Oh, that happened. They go digging and digging and digging. And you know, when you're digging into dirty laundry, what happens? It just smells. The issue is, it doesn't matter what the fuck happened. The issue is, what are you going to do now? It's a behavioral change. And when you change behavior, things change. If you dig and dig and try to find why, yeah, you'll nerd out and find all sorts of shit. But it doesn't help you here and now. The practical realities, will you take one step, second step, third step to break free? The issue is doing that. And that's where we're at. So it's really up to you. Our movement is growing. Take advantage of it. So what I would suggest, we'll take some questions, but we can do a breakout room right here. The action step for everyone here is, we need people to make fucking phone calls now, and we will win this election. We need to people to hand out flyers. I'm not going to go raise $50 million fucking dollars and suck Zionist cock. I'm not going to do that. None of us are going to do that. But we will demand of you to rise to the occasion. And we have 5 months. So it's not an everyday matters. Don't wait until, don't call, you know, Lynn or Barb, you know, on like, you know, October 15th. That's bullshit. Do it now. So I would suggest to the leaders on the call, take everyone, onboard them to make phone calls. It's really easy and it's fun. You can talk to people. You can engage with people. It's not like some drudgery. And if you're in Massachusetts, if you want to come to Massachusetts, you know, come here for a week, hand out flyers. But that's what we need. It's that simple. And you will grow from it. You will, it's sort of frankly initially daunting for people to hand out a flyer or make a phone call, because now you're interacting with the world, right? And that's what the establishment doesn't want you to do. They don't want you to engage with the world. They don't want you to change things, because then you're going to get confident you can change things, right? So that's the opportunity. It's really an opportunity for you. I just want the analogies. We've created a beautiful gym, beautiful personal trainers. Do you want to grow your muscles? Do you want to get strong? That's what this is. It's really for you. It's not, I'm running for office, I'm going to help Dr. Shiba. No, you're helping yourself. Don't do it to help me. Do it to help yourself. Let's take some questions, answers.
If you have questions, you can write them in the chat and we will see them. Dr. Shiba will see them. It's a great opportunity here.
And by the way, if you go to ShibaForSenate.com, you can volunteer there. If you go to Truth Freedom Health, you can join the movement. It's free. You get access to about 23 different courses. You can, if you want, also sign up as a Warrior Scholar. We make things very, very accessible to people. Wherever you're at, there's a movement here. Do you want to be part of it? It's really up to you. Any questions? I'm looking at the people here. Well, I got a lot of great people here. Just want to thank Jerry Payne. Jerry Payne, by the way, we have 3 campaign managers for our campaign, and they span nearly 60 years. Nicholas is one of our campaign managers. He just turned 30. Jerry's in his 60s, and Mike Mosca is 80. Okay? So this is a full spectrum campaign of people of all different ages. So there's 53 of you here, 54 of you here. If you guys did an hour, you know, and you get a conversation, each one of you from now, just 1 hour a day, and you can just even do weekdays. You don't have to do all 7 days. We'll get our vote numbers, at least a significant portion of them, just by making phone calls, conversing with people. It takes about 2 minutes to talk to someone. We're finding a 67% to 70% conversion rate once someone talks to us to say, yes, I want to vote for Shiba. So we just need people to reach out to them. All right. If there's not any questions, I would say let's use this meeting very productively. Edward Zach said, what is the time schedule for handing out the flyers? Great question, Edward. You know what's really interesting? Most people aren't even thinking about the campaign politics until around Labor Day. That's what's interesting. Between September 1st to October 15th, Edward, is when 85% of the voting decisions are made, that period. And about, you know, 5 or 10% afterwards. So I used to, so between now and then is a great opportunity through phone to get people involved. But flyers, Edward, we want to do it during that time, because if you give it too early, people forget it. So our goal is to really do a real big campaign late August to mid-October, right? It's a beautiful time in Massachusetts then. But we could give it earlier, but during between now and September, we want to really hit the phones and we want to bring more volunteers in. I hope that answered your question, Edward. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, let me just finish by saying that these invisible cage doors open. The numbers prove that we, the people, are the real majority. But these numbers only matter. They only matter if we actualize our personal responsibility and act. And so you can leave the Zoom session tonight or walk out of this room tonight and not take this opportunity, not take leadership to make sure people don't vote for the same politicians and get, you know, the same misery. Or we can choose to inspire people to vote differently. So, you know, get on board at Intercall Hub, get your friends to vote, you know, to participate in being volunteers. And set up time to come to Boston. We had, you know, 5-6 people come here for 9 days. So this is not a local campaign. Our running for U.S. Senate is a global event. 100 senators, this is why Israel funds every senator and every House of Representatives. To think that a U.S. congressional election is just the United States is insane. It policies that are made by these 100 senators affect everyone's lives throughout the world. All right, everyone, thank you. I hope this is valuable. Oh, someone here. Robert P., can you put your question in the chat, please? Robert P. Edward said, I'll set up my call hub and Barbara will help make the call starting tomorrow. Great. Yeah, Ed is great. Ed was up here handing out flyers, I understand, and helping collect signatures. Ed works. And, you know, Ed works as a full-time dentist. His wife is a nurse. They were both up here. They drove all the way from Connecticut. This is really an incredible opportunity. And what is really good about what we're doing is we're not here to talk random shit about some theories. If you want to, I have 4,000 videos up there. You can go watch all of them. Get as much theory and, you know, exposing. But right now it's time for action. It's it. It's action. Okay. So, Catherine, great. You're doing a great job running the meeting tonight.
Thank you.
I would suggest kicking everyone's butt here who hasn't gotten into Call Hub and getting them onboarded and making everyone accountable. Okay.
And sounds great.
Okay, thank you. Be well.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shiva.
Thank you. Be well.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a 4-year-old kid, setting revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.